You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz, the 28th of March. What happened last night? Was it as good as it felt? Probably not. The Celtics are in town for a major game tonight. A personal story about the Jazz organization and NBA 5. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Thank you very much for tuning in. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you the insight, expertise, some geeky numbers, and a look behind the curtains on what's going on with your favorite NBA team. Remember, Locked On NBA is available for you each and every day as well. And the website, lockedonjazz.net, gives you all the latest things I've got out for you as well, including video yesterday. And finally, a really exciting, this is kind of a soft launch, but go to lockedonsports.com, and all of the Locked On Podcast Network is now in one place. Pretty cool. All of the Locked On Podcast Network is in one place, including our expansion into baseball. So check it out. Pretty exciting growth and development there. Thank you for all your support. All right, let's go. We had four things we wanted to have happen last night. Three of them happened. Let's walk through what happened last night in the NBA. Washington beat San Antonio 116-106. Toronto beat Denver 114-110. Portland came from behind to beat New Orleans 107-103 in an incredible game. Both teams were great. Anthony Davis had 36 points, 14 rebounds, 4 assists, 6 blocks, 2 steals, got hurt and stayed in the game. Really was impressive just kind of how he battled through it. But the guy was really impressive was Drew Holiday last night. Alvin Gentry is running some basic, really great stuff that they probably couldn't run with DeMarcus Cousins. A lot of it very similar to what we run, but frankly, they have two players that are so electric in Holiday and Davis that it looks a little different. Dame Lillard was incredible. He had 41-9-6, overcoming C.J. McCollum's 3 of 19. And Aminu's 3 of 13. In NBA 5 today, they have lost Harkless for a while. We'll talk about it. That's a big loss for them. It really changes kind of who they are, what their bench is, but that was a good win by Portland. And then, by the way, Indiana won in Golden State last night as well, that playing that same team, as Draymond Green did not play again. So they went, but this time they went with Pachulia instead of JaVale McGee starting. So that same Warrior team that we played rolled out again last night. And then the final one of the night, the Clippers just incredible comeback. They were down, looked like they're ahead most of the way down, then looked like they're on the ropes, and then just got hot from late in the ball game and ran away on a 22-8 run over from about the 7:30-13 mark to about the 1:30 mark to win last night. So the last one we wanted was the Clippers losing. Didn't happen. So does this change the landscape of the Western Conference playoffs, and was this a great night for the Jazz? Interestingly, by the end, if the Clippers had lost, it's a huge night. But the Clippers losing was really the key thing. So let's walk through what happened last night. San Antonio, if you recall, for the last little while, we've been talking about this, that they had the 6-game homestand, that they had to win 5 or 6 because they were going to go on the road and were in a brutal stretch. They're in it. They've lost 2 in a row to Milwaukee and Washington. They go to play the Thunder on Thursday and then Houston on Sunday. Now, in this game last night, LaMarcus Aldridge actually leaves the game with a bone contusion on his left knee. So that's significant. But from their standpoint, and I like to look at the wins, not the losses, they have 43 wins. And they have 7 games left. I've said this whole time, I thought they'd get to 47. I still do. They have Now, they might, if LaMarcus is out, they might struggle. They may not get to 47. Thunder, Houston on the road, Clippers on the road, Lakers back-to-back, same building, Trailblazers, then Sacramento they'll get, and the Pelicans the final night of the year for some playoff positioning. So if Aldridge is out, then maybe that does change things a little bit. And the Spurs might be hovering, you know, if I would think they go 4-3 the rest of the way if they're healthy. Maybe they're going to drop onto 46, and so that is a little bit of a game changer last night. That you suspected that they, you know, might get one of those Milwaukee-Washington games, but not enormous. Denver is in a world of hurt. Denver is now sitting at 35 losses. If they're going to get to 46, they can only lose one more game the rest of the way. And they play at Oklahoma City in 2 days. They then come home for two against Milwaukee and Indiana. Here's the crazy one. Part of us wants Denver to stay in this race, because they close with Minnesota, Clippers, Blazers, Minnesota. If Denver loses to the Thunder, drops those games to Milwaukee and Indiana, they're done. Suddenly, those four games late, Portland's pretty much solidified the third spot. But Minnesota, Clippers, Portland, Minnesota, those are games that matter. Now we're in this funny game where we don't want Denver to fall out too much. But Denver is sitting at 35. If they go to 47, and they're the ones we're trying to avoid in the tiebreaker, they have to win out. I've thought they'd be at 46 the whole time, and that's why we need to be at 47. That seems less likely. Thunder, unless they win out their final six, that'd be quite a story. So they're suddenly heading to a lower number. So that's good. Portland, we've established they beat the Thunder at 32%. They beat the Pelicans last night at 41%. They're just really good right now. I mean, they've lost two games since we started this, and they are just rolling. Now, the Clippers last night, this is the kind of game that they have the rest of the way. So the Clippers have lost 34 games. If they're going to get to 47, they can only lose one more game the rest of the way. I have said the whole time I think they'd get to 46. This is why we needed 47 to get in without a tiebreaker. Phoenix tonight, they go to Portland. They come back home to play Indiana on the back end of Indiana's long trip. They then play San Antonio at home. They come to Utah. So if they lose to the Blazers and the Jazz on the road, on those two games where they're 38 and 30% win probabilities, then all of a sudden the Clippers are at 36 losses and they only get to 46. But they close with Denver, New Orleans, and the Lakers all at home. So I think that Utah game is going to be massive, and I still think there's a real chance that the Clippers roll through this thing to 46. And then you have us. Big win potential tonight against Boston because they're on the end of this road trip, so we have a 72% tonight. We have the Grizzlies the next night, so that would get us, you know, Boston's a must-win tonight. We're at 44. Go to Minnesota. Come back to get the Lakers. That give that 45. You got to win that Clipper game. It's 46. And can you get the Lakers on the road, Golden State on the road, or at home, or Minnesota on the – or excuse me, on Portland on the road? There's tough games here left for the Jazz. Can the Jazz get to the 47 that we've talked about this whole time? If San Antonio slips to 46 due to Aldridge injury, that tiebreaker is suddenly a good one for us to have floating around. So we're still in a tussle. By the way, we'll talk about this in the NBA 5, Milos Teodosic went down with a plantar fasciitis injury. He's having an MRI today for the Clippers. So that's a pretty big story. Now the other angle is, how high can we go? So the Pelicans, we didn't really touch on here. They lost last night. Their next one is against Cleveland, at Cleveland. Then Thunder 55 win potential. Easy one against Memphis. Easy one against Phoenix. They close with Golden State at Golden State, but who knows what that is right now. At the Clippers and at the Spurs. So they do not have an easy stretch. They probably have, my best guess, in their final seven, they've got only three or four wins. So that takes them to 46 or 47. Again, I had them at 47. They may be slipping slightly below that. Same thing with the Spurs at 40. So now all of a sudden, if the Jazz can get to 47, my thought the whole time was the Jazz had to get 47 to get in without a tiebreaker, but they weren't going to 8. They might be going to 5, depending what happens with Minnesota, who's dropped a few, and what happens with the massive game on Sunday between the Jazz and the Timberwolves. It's fun. Crazy, crazy, crazy fun. And so last night was really good. And things are, everyone's kind of slipping. The only wild card there that just kind of the nervous part of me is I look at the possible, just keep an eye on Denver. Like there's a funny game going on with Denver where we actually need them to stay engaged just enough. How funny is that? Because we don't play them again. And so you need to get them going. Today's show is brought to you in part by the store. It's time for Easter, and the Easter Bunny is here. They've got all sorts of fun stuff. They've got Miss Kavanaugh's chocolate eggs. They can customize the eggs in their bakery, which is really cool. This is just the kind of stuff. This is the essence of the store is your community grocery store, 6200 South, 20th East, with this great personal touch, and then all these fun parts of it. So they have great Easter candies and cards and bouquets and all things. And then the coolest thing they have is the Miss Kavanaugh chocolate eggs that they'll customize for you. How cool would that be if Easter Bunny brought you something with a name on it? The June pies, the weekly menu includes rotating flavors, are there. The quiches are great. The dinner pies are as well. And then obviously all the sweets there. I need some feedback from you. Mudslide cookies. Or the chocolates, the sea salted caramel, dark chocolate sea salt caramels, or the Holland mints out of the bins. Someone sent me, I think it was Jeff sent me a pronunciation guide for how to pronounce the name of the company, Marich or something like that, that does the chocolates there in the out of their bins, and I don't have it in front of me. That's my fault, but I had it in the other room. All Easter gifts are 30% off on Thursday at the Cottonwood Ace. And today, Mudslide cookies are 2 for 1. 2 for 1. Actually, all gourmet baked cookies are 2 for 1. No, it's buy 2, get 1. Sorry, my fault. Buy 2, get 1. Buy 2, get 1. Not 2 for 1. My fault. I screwed that up. They have a little daily calendar schedule, and I just read it wrong. It's a little print. My eyes are getting bad. Buy 2, get 1 free. And you need 3 Mudslide cookies, let me tell you. It's a great place. It's 6200 South. It's 20th East. It's the store. Right next door is Cottonwood Ace. It's all sorts of, just you can feel that personal touch. Enjoy it a great deal. Check it out. The food in the back is terrific. The hot meals. I love the barbecue chicken. I've done the sushi numerous times after ski days. So hope all is well for you. And stop by over there and see the store at 6200 South and 20th East. Say hi to Jeff and Scott for me while you're there. All right, Boston today. Big one. Really similar teams. So Boston opened the year winning 16 straight after they lost their first two. I mean, that's the essence of their season. Both teams are exact same offensively for the season, which is interesting because they both play such a similar style. And talking to Jay Crowder, and the video is up on LockedOnJazz.net. Some interesting comments about whether or not the philosophy of both coaches is a little bit that you let everyone touch the ball offensively because then they'll play defense. It's an interesting thought. Quinn definitely believes it. If a guy's touched the ball offensively, then they're going to be able to, they'll engage defensively. The Jazz offensively for the season are a 105.6. The Celtics are a 105.4. So they're virtually the same. And they're the number one Boston and number two or three defensive team in the league, Jazz. Jazz have slipped, I think, back behind the Spurs for the number two. The Jazz are back up ahead of the Spurs, 102.0. and 101 points. So they're almost the same offensively, almost the same defensively. Their pace of play is virtually the same. Their shooting is virtually the same. Jazz force a few more turnovers defensively than they do. Their reboundings are similar. The Jazz are a little better defensive rebounding team. Boston defends the shot better and specifically defends the three better. Boston defense, sixth best defending the restricted area. Second best in the paint non-restricted area, which is where the Jazz have been great recently. Third best in the mid-range. They're the 24th best at defending the corner three, but they deny the corner three the most. And so that will be an interesting rub tonight. The Jazz take the most amount of their threes as corner threes. And the Celtics allow the fewest. So the Jazz on their threes take 28% of all of their three-point attempts as threes, which is the highest rate. And they take 10% overall, which is the third highest rate. Boston allows just 19% of their opponent's corner threes to be corner threes. And they're the third best at denying them overall at 6%. So that will be one to watch tonight, of whether or not the Jazz can get the above the corner three. The above the break three will also be interesting tonight. The Jazz, since the All-Star break, are shooting at 29.2% on above the break threes. They are 35% for the season. The last three games they've been on fire. The Celtics are the best team in the NBA at defending the above the break three. They allow just 32.7%. Now, it's interesting. Some people say that that's just variance. At some point also, you've just been doing it better than everybody else. There's probably a reason. Their number was incredibly low to start the season and then has circled back up. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Morris are their leading scorers. They're all kind of tough players to deal with. They don't have the Kyrie ass thing tonight going, and obviously they miss Gordon, but they've got these kind of long athletes in a moving system. They're similar to the Jazz, and they play advantage basketball. But they're only average offensively, similar to the Jazz. Marcus Morris over the last 10 games averaging 18-5. Tatum's averaging 16-6. And Terry Rozier has been playing the point guard, averaging 17-5-4. So those are the guys that are leading them. They are in the back end of this road trip, but they have swept so far through the West. They won in Portland, won in Sacramento, and won in Phoenix. So the Jazz hands will be full. Just a worthwhile reminder, the Jazz have won 23 of their last 27. Does anybody want a little Donovan love to do? It's kind of fun stuff. Last rookies to average 20 points a game. Blake Griffin, 2011, 10-11. Tyreek Evans, 09-10. Durant, Carmelo, LeBron since 2001. If you want to go 20 years, you add Elton Brand in there, you've got six guys. There's only been, I think, 32 since 1970. Pretty amazing. My favorite one is the winning. When you look at this, the Jazz have now won 42 games. With a win tonight, Donovan Mitchell equals Carmelo's win total of 2003-2004. And the last rookie to average 20 points a game and win more than 43 games, which Donovan will need two wins to do, is Tim Duncan at 56. The last rookie to lead their team in scoring and win more than 43 games was David Robinson. That's where the numbers really work toward favor of Donovan in this Rookie of the Year battle with Ben Simmons. I almost want to send out Keith Pompey. Was on Locked On NBA. He's the Locked On Sixers host, Philadelphia Inquirer writer, and he called Ben Simmons the perfect Robin to Joel Embiid's Batman. I did almost want to tweet that out. One other Donovan note that you probably know, but it's also fun to just mention these. Second half scoring. Now, in 2002-2003 was the first time they started keeping first half and second half scoring. So we have only 15 years of data. But Donovan Mitchell is scoring more points in the second half of games than any rookie ever in NBA history. So that'd be fun to mention those to you. I sometimes assume you guys know them. I do them for prep every night and update them. And so it's sometimes fun just to kind of go back and remind you about all those. All right, NBA 5 and a fun little personal story about the Jazz organization and how incredible they are here in just a second. But I do want to mention to you that today's show is brought to you by Utah Advocates. The Utah Advocates are personal attorneys that help you on the case of car accidents. Predominantly, they do some other stuff, but really, it's car accidents. All car accidents are different, but all the circumstances after you get into the system are the same. And so what Matt and the group at the Utah Advocates have built over 25 years is this incredible 106-step process that sets them apart. So here's how it works. You get in a car accident, sucks. Suddenly, either you need to make sure that the insurance company treats you right. Maybe you're going to miss some work and you got to make sure your employer doesn't let you go. You're in tough circumstance. So you call the Advocates at 801-355-5550. That's 801-355-5550. You get a lawyer who calls you back within 60 seconds. That lawyer immediately puts your case into the system. That lawyer also then figures out, okay, what are your needs? In your definition, what does good results mean and what does nothing bad happens to you mean? And that's the first two things. And then you go into that system with that understanding, and now the checklist starts. And it sounds kind of impersonal, but the fact is that what that process does is it becomes efficiency. And efficiency means productivity, which means communication. That communication means expediting the process and keeping you in the loop the whole time. And the best part is while the lawyer's dealing with you, experts at each individual task on that 106-point checklist are working on it. Same person's dealing with all the insurance companies. Same person dealing with the hospital. They've got experts at every step along the way. So if you need it, 801-355-5550. That's 801-355-5550. All right, I want to share the story just because I hope it comes out sincerely. I'm not trying to earn brownie points and I'm not trying to make it worth their while if they did this. I just thought this was really, it's really been moving to me. So I think you know my son races ski racing. Last year, very stunningly out of nowhere, he qualified for the national championships, and I requested or asked the organization if it was all right if I missed a game, and I missed the game in San Antonio, and Bowler was incredible and covered for me and did it. As this year came about, there was a chance he would make it again, but I really never even ever crossed my mind that I would ever ask again. I'd use that shit. There's no way I would ask again. And I was at dinner in Dallas with Quinn Snyder, President Steve Starks, Johnny Bryant, myself, and we started talking about our kids, and I commented that, wow, what was such an interesting day the other day. I'd taken my 15-year-old to the airport. He had his two huge big bags worth of seven skis, his two backpacks. I dropped him at the curb. He kind of helped him get him stuff in. I went parked the car. By the time I got back, he'd already checked in for his flight. He was just waiting to go through security, gave me a kiss goodbye, and walked onto his plane to Alaska all by himself. And I was just kind of blown away about how grown up he was. And Steve Starks across the table looks at me and goes, "You should be there." And I said, "No, Steve, I mean, that's nice of you, but, you know, that's Westerns. And it's, you know, if I go to that, I'd be going to everything. And I appreciate it." And I use that last year to go to national championships, you guys were gracious enough and I wouldn't ask again. He's like, "Well, when's nationals this year?" And I said, "Well, if he skis well this weekend, he makes it." And he goes, "Well, you should go. You should be there." It wasn't like, what jumped out to me about this is I think that many organizations would say the following: "Hey, let's look into it and see whether or not we can make it work for you." Don't you think? That's the way I envision that most organizations, I think, would say something. "Hey, let's look into this and see whether or not we can do it. In other words, we really like it, but we don't want to be inconvenienced to it. His was, you know, and then I said, you know what? I feel pretty connected to the fan base. We're having a great year. I used that last year. And he was like insistent. What was then interesting is that later Quinn pulled me aside and said, you know, you should go. And then at another time on the trip, I actually was with Quinn's wife, Amy, and she basically told me she'd kill me if I didn't go. I just thought it was an interesting moment. A lot of organizations talk. A lot of organizations make a lot of different comments about what they claim they believe and who they are. I was living the culture of an organization actually there. So he did ski well, clutched up, and so he's going. And then I looked into it, and it would mean missing the huge game in Minnesota, and really I was feeling very pulled. I feel very connected to the team right now. I feel very connected to the fan base. I didn't want to leave. My son, frankly, doesn't need me at these events. It's very much for me selfishly to go see him. I don't think he really needs me there. I'm not productive to him in any way. He's very independent, which I love. It's his event. You know, there's no dad push here going on. This is all him. And so I kind of still was at the point where I wasn't sure, and I emailed my boss directly, who's Jeremy Castro, and his response back to me was, no brainer, bro. We'll figure this out. So, as it turns out, I will miss Sunday, which I don't really, you know, I wish I could do both, but where it's not possible. So I will miss Sunday, and I will be going to see that. But I think it's more of a, I don't know, I hope this is coming across right. I was personally, maybe I'm an idiot, and I'm too into my work, and you guys are really finding out that, like, oh my God, this guy, like, seriously was not going to go. But what really, to me, it was a statement of who this organization is. All right, let's go back to NBA 5. There were a few things in the NBA I wanted to jump on. There were three things injury-wise last night that are worth keeping an eye on. Anthony Davis twisted an ankle, came back and played, and showed a level of toughness he has not before. So worth keeping an eye on. But boy, was he great last night. The LaMarcus Aldridge knee contusion and Milos Teodosic has a MRI today. Teodosic, if you're not following closely, and I don't think you should be, Teodosic has been along with the trade and a bunch of other things, is a case of one of those kind of key players to a team that allows them to have success. Their record with Teodosic has been dramatically better than without. He's kind of the glue. Now, I think also some of that's the trade, and they showed last night down the clutch what they could do with that. So, I don't think it's in, but I don't think the Clippers can go run off 7 of 8 if Teodosic's plantar fasciitis is going to knock him out for 2 weeks. So that's a pretty significant injury. Last night, Cleveland got blasted by Miami, 98-79. Kevin Love was gone for played 7 minutes, got his tooth hit, and got knocked out. They got good Rodney Hood last night. He went 6 of 13, had 15 points on 13 shots last night, took his one free throw. I don't know. I'm not seeing what I need from Cleveland to really believe. The one that's interesting, by the way, is Philadelphia. I mean, Joel Embiid is so good and probably should be in our discussion of top 10 players in the league. I mean, there are a lot of guys in this discussion of top 10 players in the league. He is that good. And I wonder if they up his minutes, he's playing 31 a night. In the playoffs, they could be a real beast. I mean, they're so young. And you wonder whether, I don't think Ben Simmons' lack of shooting gets exposed in the playoffs, because he just can get anywhere he wants to go. But Embiid, they're 12 points better offensively and 7 points better defensively when he's on the floor. So you up that a little bit, and it gets pretty interesting. The other thing is that when they tighten down their rotation in the playoffs, they get rid of a bunch of guys that aren't very good. And I love Amir Johnson as their backup five. They're playing not very good teams. Their win over Minnesota right now is the only one on their seven-game win streak that was against above 500 team. But Philadelphia is walking toward the fourth seed right now. I think they win first round against Washington or Indiana, and then I do think that they give Toronto fits. It's pretty interesting. I don't know if there's big jockeying. I don't know that Miami can upend an injured Boston team, but maybe. East is going to be interesting. There's only three teams with more than 44 wins in the East. Two teams with more than 44 wins in the East. It's very similar to the West. They're just a little notch below what's taking place. All right. That is the NBA 5, or that is, and a personal story. That is Locked On Jazz today. LockedOnSports.com is out there for you. Instagram, Battle of the Donovans. Make sure you voted on Instagram, DLock09. I'm putting up two highlights every day. On my Insta stories, you vote. One advances and faces another Donovan highlight. We'll do this for 2 weeks. It'll be a lot of fun. So DLock09 is the account there to vote on the Instagram. Have a great one. Talk to you soon.